In the June issue of Reader's Digest, there was a story of a 19-year-old girl by the name of Charlotte. She and her family lived down in Virginia, I think it was, a very nice home. And it happened to be Thanksgiving weekend, and after they had finished their meal, the family, along with some few friends, had retired down to the finished basement where they were just going to relax for the evening. And her father had ventured out into the garage where he was just going to tinker. About 8 o'clock, Charlotte decided that she wanted to just go up and check on her dad, see how she was doing. As she passed through the kitchen with the wafting aroma of turkey and dressing still lingering in the air, she moved her way toward the door that entered into their attached garage. And opening it was welcomed by a billowing cloud of black smoke. Making her way into the garage as best she could, she found her way to her father, who was underneath, pinned by the vehicle. He had put his Sierra truck up on a jack and was working on the brakes when the jack moved and it pinned him in his chest and shoulders to the ground. Instinctively, Charlotte ran to the front of the vehicle. She's barefoot, and here she is, just this 19-year-old girl, trying to lift the vehicle. Her dad is encouraging her, still conscious, but hurting from the pain of the weight of the vehicle crushing down on him. She gave it a second try and was able to move it just enough where she got her hip to be able to get it back on the jack somehow, and taking her dad's 280-pound frame, grabbed him under the armpits and dragged him out the garage down the driveway. She rushed back in to the garage, got in the truck and started it up and put it in reverse and gunned it. And with the metal hub of that wheel grinding on the concrete, slowly backed the truck out of the garage. And then when that was clear, she ran back into the home and warned her family down in the basement that they needed to get out because there was a fire. Our topic today is bearing or carrying one another's burdens. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 6 this morning. Galatians chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 1 to 5. Our passage, the one another passage, actually is in verse 2, but for context, I want to look at verses 1 through 5 this morning. Before we look at this passage, I would invite you to stand one more time. I'd like to read an extended portion beginning at chapter 5 and verse 16 and then reading through our text this morning. Beginning at chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 16, "So I say, live by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, faction, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and if that weren't enough on the list, and the like." If I didn't cover it all, Paul says, here it is. "I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, you should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else. For each one should carry his own load. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated. As we think about this passage, this one another admonition, I'd like to start out with a general or very broad understanding of our admonition to carry or bear one another's burdens. There is a principle that we need to understand, and in the original language, this admonition is in the present active imperative mood, making this an ongoing action, something that is continuous. Keep on bearing. Keep on carrying. It is something that we begin and we continue to do until that need has been met. It's the same word and idea that is conveyed in John 19:17, when we find Jesus carrying his cross to the place where he would be crucified. It says there that he was carrying his cross. When it was given to him, until it reached the point of the place of execution, he carried that cross, and that is the idea that Paul wants to convey for us. The principle of burden-bearing is a broad one, meaning that it could apply to any kind of burden that we might have or that another person might have. There are financial burdens that we might have that are seemingly insurmountable, debts that are looming, and we just have this weight that is on us. There can be the burden of that includes student loans or overwhelming medical expenses or house repairs or mortgage or car payments, those kinds of things. You may have the burden of caring for somebody, someone who can't care for themselves any longer. You may have had that responsibility where a loved one has been in your care and up until the time of their passing you had cared for them. It could be that kind of a burden that Paul is referring to in a broad sense. Some of you are caring. Some of you will care for loved ones. I read a story that came out of China a number of years ago. As the story goes, there was a 2-year-old boy who fell off a table, and he was in a coma from that fall. 6 days later, when he woke up, he couldn't talk, he couldn't move. His mother was distraught because she had no financial means of really being able to care for the needs of her child, and the expenses were too much for her to place him in a home where he could get the kind of care that he needed. So she took on that responsibility herself. What's amazing about this story is that 30 years later, she had, from the time of the injury until this time, 30 years later or more, had been carrying her son on her back. Wherever she went, there she was with that son on her back. What's even more amazing is that he weighed twice as much as she did. And at the time of the story, she was 65. Carrying her son for over 30 years. Some of you have that responsibility. That's a burden. And we as a body need to help carry and bear that burden with you. There are burdens at work. Those might include unrealistic deadlines, an unreasonable boss or difficult co-worker. It may be the burden of travel. There are burdens at home. And there are burdens in relationships, whether it is a relationship within a home, whether it is a relationship with neighbors or co-workers or others within an extended family. There are those burdens of relationships that sometimes we carry. Those are just some of the burdens that you may bear. The word burden literally means weight. It's used in Matthew 20, verse 12, where workers are complaining, having borne the burden of the day. You know that story where Jesus is telling it about the man who went out early in the morning and hired the individuals, and they worked all day. And at the end of the day, through the day, he continued to add more and more workers to the workforce to get the job done. And at the end of the day, when they were getting paid, they were complaining because they got the same pay as everybody else when they bore the burden of the day. They had done all or most of the work for the entire day. So that's the word that is used there. But it's more than just a weight that Paul is referring to in the use of this particular Greek word. It is a weight that is too heavy to carry alone. That's the idea that Paul wants to convey with the burdens that we are to bear of one another, that it is a weight that is so overwhelming by someone else that they are pressed down by the load and they can't go on any further except that someone else comes and helps them. I don't know if I should tell you this or not. There have been occasions when I have moved this pulpit alone. Not just from here over to here, but from here down to here. I've learned a secret on how to do that fairly easily. But I want to assure you that the weight of this pulpit is best moved when there is more than one. The weight that some of you are carrying right now can be overwhelming. And maybe you've learned to manage. Maybe you've learned to just kind of go with it and you've gotten used to it, but that's not the way, folks, that it should be. We are here as the body of Christ to help move and carry your burdens with you. That is our responsibility. In the broad sense of what Paul is painting here for us, that is the idea that we need to understand the responsibility for the body of Christ to help one another. Ecclesiastes 4 verses 9 and 10 are a very similar passage. It says that it is better if two walk together because when one falls, the other is able to lift it up. But woe to him who walks alone because when he falls, there is not another to lift him up. That's the same idea that Paul is conveying here, that as we walk together, we need to be there for each other to encourage and to support and to carry one another on. With connectivity to the world at our fingertips through the use of the internet and cell phones and social media like Twitter and Facebook and all the other things that go along with it, instant action, instant availability of people, why is it that as a culture there is more depression, more despair, more discouragement? I think we're afraid to let people see that we don't have it all together. I think we're afraid to admit when we have a burden that's too heavy for us to carry because we don't want to give the appearance of weakness to others. And so we hold it on in and we bear it up and we just trudge on because, well, that's just life. And besides, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Well, we all have burdens of one another, of one kind or another. And Paul's admonition is that we are called to bear those burdens so that people don't have to bear them alone. Jesus called on his disciples when he was in the garden and he was oppressed by the weight of what was to come, bearing all the sin of the world, past, present, and future, everything on his shoulders. And he is just deeply, deeply moved. He invites his disciples to come along and pray with him. Moses bore the burden of bearing all the complaints of Israel as they're wandering around in the wilderness, and his father-in-law Jethro came to him and said, "This isn't a good thing. You need to have other people, godly people, who can come and help you bear the burden of all these people." We all have burdens, and Paul says that we are to bear them for others. The word bear means to take up with the hands in order to bear away. To take up with the hands in order to bear away. When I am clearing out dead brush that happens to be nestled in with the rest of the lilac bushes, I tear them out and then I pick them up with my hands and I bear them down to the burn pile. That's the intent that Paul is saying. We carry away the burdens of those who are around us. In the dramatic scene of Lord of the Rings near the end of Return of the King, Frodo is carrying the Ring of Power to Mount Doom. And they've reached the base of the mountain and they start to travel up. He's with his faithful servant Samwise Gamgee and they're traveling up and he gets so burdened by the weight of this ring because all of Middle-earth hangs in the balance with him in this ring to destroy it. And he gets partway up and he just can't go on any further. And he stumbles and he falls and he's just not sure he could go any further. And Samwise Gamgee says, "I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you." And he picks Frodo up on his shoulder and he begins to climb the rest of the way up. We have burdens that are too heavy for us to bear. And Paul is inviting us to come alongside, and that burden, we may not be able to take that burden from that person, but we can certainly lift them up and carry them along and help them through it. Oftentimes, we put on our happy faces, offering a warm handshake or a welcoming hug, but deep inside, we feel pressed down by the burden, hoping that the pain or struggle isn't visible. Folks, we need to give that up. The body of Christ cannot function as the body of Christ if we're carrying around our burdens in secret. The body of Christ is to be there for one another, to help shoulder those cares that weigh us down. We may walk with someone through the doors of the church and never know that they're carrying a heavy burden, a burden that they need help with. We may sit next to someone in church singing the same songs, greeting them before the service begins, and never know that they're carrying a heavy burden. Maybe they're hoping that someone will come along and ask them so that they can share. Maybe we're afraid to ask them because we don't want to get involved. After all, we have our own burdens, and there isn't anybody there to help me. We need to be transparent. We need to be honest. We need to be visible with those burdens so that others can come alongside and help. In the broad understanding of what it is to be a body of believers, we are to be burden bearers, assisting with any number of burdens, and they can be whatever is going on in that person's life at the time. It is a continuous action that includes seeing them through the burden. That means a measure of commitment on our part. But as we come to the context of the passage that is before us, there is a very specific burden that Paul is inviting us to help shoulder with other individuals. Let's read verses 1 and 2 again. It says, "Brothers, if someone who is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ." We see in this passage a very specific burden that we are supposed to help to carry. In the context of the admonition we are considering, the reference suggests burdens that tempt a sinning believer to fall back into the sin from which they have just been delivered. One author suggests that a persistent, oppressing temptation is one of the heaviest burdens a Christian can have. The weight of that temptation pulling, luring the individual back to it again after he or she has just been delivered from it is a burden that is difficult. And Paul is suggesting here in the context that it is that individual with whom we are to come alongside, especially to help. We are about, or should be about, the spiritual well-being of individuals. Would you agree? That is our task. To help others mature in their faith. And when they're being weighed down by this temptation, or perhaps they are, as Paul is saying here, caught in a sin, and it is the idea of something that has taken them by surprise. I think of two examples in the New Testament near the crucifixion of Christ. And one is Judas. For a long time, Judas had been thinking in his mind that this isn't the thing that he had signed up for. And so he went thinking about how he can sort of set things in motion and deliver Jesus over to the hands of the Pharisees. And so he's thinking about it, and then he takes the action to do it. That is premeditated. He thought about it, and then he went and did it. On the other hand, we have Peter. Peter's in that courtyard. He's warming himself by a fire, and three times, especially the first time, an individual little girl comes up to him and says, "Hey, you're one of them, aren't you?" And he says, "No, I'm not." It caught him off guard. That's the idea that Paul is conveying here. If a person is caught in a sin, something that they weren't planning on doing, but wow, it came, and just like that, they got caught up in it. Or the temptation is real, and it's there, and it's strong, and we are to be that individual who comes alongside to help them during that temptation. One of my favorite cartoons when I was growing up was the Bugs Bunny show. And there's a favorite episode, maybe you remember it, where Sylvester has been chasing Tweety Bird and he just can't get a hold of Tweety Bird. And so he decides that, you know, I got to give this up because I keep getting hurt. So he goes to this Birds Anonymous club. And it's another bunch of cats who all are trying to get rid of their temptation to eat birds. And there's Sylvester, and he has this temptation. Every time he sees Tweety Bird, he wants to eat Tweety Bird, but all these other cats come at the time of temptation, and they're there to make sure that he doesn't eat. And at the end of the show, he gets rid of his temptation to want to pounce on Tweety Bird. But the leader of the Birds Anonymous has that temptation come back on him, and he gives in. We are to be there to help others during that time, to shoulder that burden with them. If someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. We see in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, sort of the character traits of someone that should be characterized, if you will, of being spiritual. He is being a person who has the fruit of the Spirit that is growing in him. Love, joy, peace, patience. Because in one of the fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. And that is how this individual is supposed to come to restore this person. The goal of confrontation, the goal of confronting this individual with the temptation or the sin that they have been caught in, is to restore them. And before restoration comes repentance. You know, I think about Nathan and David back in the Old Testament. When Nathan approaches David with his sin of murdering Uriah and having this affair with Bathsheba and coming to him and challenging him, but then in gentleness restoring him. Passage says there that when David repents, that Nathan says, "The Lord has forgiven you." We need to do that in a spirit of gentleness as we go helping to shoulder this burden, because if we do it in a harsh way, that person is going to not wanting to have anything to do with us. I want to share a story. It's a true story that I think conveys verses 1 and 2 very well. And it's a story that Gene Getz shares. I have used him before. He's a pastor of Fellowship Bible Church down in Dallas. But he shares this story that one day he had just finished preaching and someone came up to him sharing with him some news, some very difficult news that at first he thought was a mistake. The news that he had received was that a good friend of his had left his family, his wife and his 6 children, and moved into an apartment with the neighbor's wife. So he turned over the service. He was done preaching, so he turned over the service to another pastor, and he went and got another elder from the church who knew this individual well. This individual happened to be someone who at one point was a very stalwart Christian. He had been in mission work for a number of years, had left that mission work and came and was established a very strong Christian business in the area. And so there was a very large Christian presence. This individual had been a stalwart of Christianity. And for this to happen, and so Gene Getz and his elder friend went to the home of this man, and there was his wife crying, and the six children, ages from youth on up to teens, were just sort of in the living room numb, and the neighbor, the husband, was there as well, and he was dealing with it in an entirely different way. He had too much to drink, so he was inebriated, and Gene Getz and the elder ministered as best they could to this grieving family, and then decided that they needed to go the next day and confront the individual at his business. They didn't receive a very warm, hospitable welcome by the individual. Kept insisting that they leave, and Gene Getz told him, "We love you too much to do that." They insisted on staying. Nothing that the man said would make them leave. And so he agreed to meet them in a more private setting outside the building because his office was all glass windows, and the employees knew something was going on. They couldn't hear, but they knew because the other two wouldn't leave that something was going on, and so they went outside and for another short while continued to plead with this man, "We love you too much to let you continue doing this." After a period of time, he agreed to go to a nearby restaurant where they found a corner booth, and for the next 2 hours pled with the man to leave and to be restored to his family. At one point, the elder had reached out and placed his hand and tears flowing down his eyes, pleading with him. At the end of their conversation, he agreed for counseling, and Gene Getz and the elder were to go with he and his wife to this counseling. They went to the first session, and there he decided that he would give them 6 weeks for counseling. And he said later on that he did that only to get them off their back, off his back, because he was just tired. He said, I've made up my mind, this is what I'm going to do. But he agreed to go to the counseling, and for 6 weeks, Gene Getz didn't have any contact with him, hadn't seen him, didn't know what was going on other than he knew that he was in counseling. One Sunday as he's preaching, he looks up and he sees the man and his wife come in and sit down in the back. And after the service, the man came up and he hugged Gene and he said, "Thank you so much for not giving up on me." That is the idea of what Paul is conveying here in the burden that we are to bear, that oftentimes, too often, when someone who is caught in a sin, someone who is tempted to sin, we say, "Well, you know, it's not my responsibility." Last week, I was driving down to the office, and I got down here by Clyde Road. I had taken old US 23 down, and I was coming to that corner, and there's that big curve where you go to Kraus. And so I was getting off, and there was a mourning dove right in the middle of the road. And it was flapping one wing, trying to get up, trying to be able to lift itself up. And the other was working, the other one wasn't. It had obviously gotten hit and injured the wing. I drove on, and I came to the office, and I got to thinking later on in the day, why didn't I stop? Why didn't I go out and help that dove off to the side of the road? And I got to thinking it's probably because, well, there was traffic. It was too busy for me to pull off safely. Or somebody else will do it. Or it's too late for that bird. How often do we look at someone who is caught in sin? And we think that it's someone else's responsibility to handle. Or it's too late for that person. They've already made up their mind, so there's no use in trying to help. Or I just don't have time. I'm too busy. I have other things to attend to. When Paul is admonishing us to bear the burden with the individual, and just like Gene Getz and his elder, not to give up, to continue to say, "I love you. No matter what, I'm here for you. I will help you through this. Whatever it takes, I want to be a part of the solution." I'm sure we all know individuals like that for whom we can come alongside and help carry that burden with them. When we think about the greatest example of someone who has carried our burden in our sin, we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:24 says that He Himself bore our sin, our burden, in His own body on the tree. He took on Himself the weight of all the world and its sin, and He bore it for us. When we were helpless, when we were the ones pressed down by the truckload of sin and we couldn't do anything for ourselves, He came along and lifted it up from us to free us. There are a couple of songs. One that isn't in our hymnal. I wish it were. It is in other hymnals, but not in ours. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. And then there's another song that we do have in our hymnal. Would you be free from your, what? Burden of sin. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There is wonderful power in the blood. Before we can bear other burdens for people around us, we need to first have our own burden lifted. We need to first come to the cross, much like Christian did in John Bunyan's story of Pilgrim's Progress, when he is reading Scripture and he has this great weight on his shoulder. And in that story, it is talking about how reading Scripture, he understands that there isn't anything that he can do himself for this burden, this weight that he's carrying. And so he begins this journey and he comes to a hill and he begins to climb it. And when he comes to the cross, the burden of his sin rolls off his back and down the hill and into a tomb where he never sees it again. And that's what Christ has done for us. To carry our burden away, we can do nothing except go to the cross. And when we have done that, then we are able to go and to bear other burdens for people who are around us. Psalm 55:22 says, "Cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never let the righteous be moved." Aren't you glad? And so it is our admonition. I've got some other things I wanted to share, but I'm just going to close with this. Here is this admonition. If someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? To love one another. To love one another as I have loved you. That is the law of Christ. And so when we do that, we'll be concerned and help to bear the burdens of others. Heavenly Father, first of all, thank you that Christ bore our burden of sin. Thank you that it was nailed at the cross and that burden never has to be a weight on me again. Not its guilt, not its condemnation. Thank you that we have been, that it has been removed from us, borne away by Christ. And in that same way, Father, we are to come alongside others who are hurting. In a general sense, to see those burdens that people bear and to help carry that load. But in a very specific sense, Paul is admonishing us to come alongside and to journey with an individual who is struggling with some sin, something that they're having difficulty getting rid of, something that they're overwhelmed by, and we are to come and help them through it, Lord. To be there for them during whatever time to have that commitment to see them mature in their walk with you. So today, Father, help us as we think about other individuals, other people, help us to come alongside, to pray for them, but to go, to be there for them. And we'll thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in the lives of other people through us, for your glory. Amen.